On today's Church TechCast Q&A, screens, CCLI, and web content. Welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A Show. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host. And I would love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and you can find all my contact information there, including my Twitter name, which is right underneath my face if you're looking at the video stream of the show. It's Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff. And you can get a hold of me there or by emailing me, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, calling 1-877-763-3246 or 1-877-POD-ECHO. Either way, it's the same number. And you can ask my question, any questions that you have, and you can have your questions answered on next week's show. These shows are recorded live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. UTC when we're in, when North America is in daylight savings time, at least. Otherwise, when we're not in daylight savings time, otherwise it's 3 p.m. UTC. All that to say, we are, I just love for every opportunity to interact with you. So please join the conversation. In the meantime, let's talk about my streaming provider. ChurchStreaming.tv provides all the streaming for the ChurchTechCast.com network, and they do a phenomenal job. Their customer service is second to none. They provide statistics, a map of where all your viewers are, an embeddable chat window, Facebook embeds, iOS, Android, you name it, and also video podcast bandwidth. All that, you would think that's got to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month, maybe even thousands. No, for most churches, it's going to be $99 a month, and that's a flat rate. So you're not going to get a surprise at the end of the month with, oh, yeah, that was our basic rate, but now once you add in bandwidth, it's a lot more. Not the case with churchstreaming.tv. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/churchstreaming, and you can get your one-month free trial there. And that's not a hobbled, limited trial. That's the full shebang. And I think that you'll enjoy the service that they have there, and you will find that when you have that kind of service, you stay on. By the way, I do get a little bit of commission if you were to try it and stay on, so that it helps the show as well. One other thing is the What Life Are You Waiting For book, written by my pastor, Pete Heiss, with a foreword by Bill Hybels. And this book is available for pre-order right now, and it will ship a little bit later on this year. And that link, trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook, will take you to the Amazon page where you can pre-order it, although it's available at Barnes & Noble and Christian book distributors and several other places. So it's a really good choice to pick that book up. I was there for the sermon series, and it not only spurs you on to take action, but helps you realize what fuel should be fueling the actions that you're taking. So head on over and get your copy of that book today. So without further ado, let's hop into the questions. First, Teresa Toby asks, I know a church who is in the market for new projector screens for our sanctuary. Do you have any recommendation for screens in rooms with a lot of natural light? Now, I think I see exactly what she's asking here, because her room, I finally gotten to see some pictures of it. Her room is shotgun style, and right behind the podium there are a lot of windows. So probably the best solution would be to cover those windows. They make motorized screens so you can drop and raise at the appropriate time. But it could be that that's not going to do it for you. In some rooms, a rear projection would be a great option. I don't think, given the look of this room, that that's going to be a great option. I think probably what you're going to want to do, you're going to want to upgrade your projector. I would put the screen behind the podium, up higher than the than the pastor, so that it doesn't interfere. It looks like you've got plenty of ceiling space to do that. Maybe you could hide a motorized screen, maybe with a curtain. The seminary that I went to, that's what they did, is they had a short curtain and all the motorized screen and such fit behind that curtain, and then they could drop the screen when needed and raise it when not needed, and no one knew that it was there. You're going to definitely want an opaque screen, perhaps a high-gain screen. Now, what I mean by high-gain is there are screens that just provide a neutral background that they reflect back, but a high-gain screen in your room, which is fairly narrow, might be the best solution, because what a high-gain screen does is, instead of reflecting back in all directions, it focuses the light a little bit more directly. Now, if you had a wider room, that wouldn't be a good option, because off to the side you'll have more difficulty seeing it. But in a narrow, long room like you have, that's probably the solution that I would go with if I were you. I'd also consider upgrading my projector. The projector will have more effect on it than the screen. And just do your best to limit natural light hitting the location of the screen. I think that's the best solution. You could go with LCDs or plasma screens, but in the room that you're looking at, Teresa, those are going to be really expensive for the size you need, so I wouldn't go that direction. For a classroom, though, that's the way to go. For a super large room, like in a multiple thousand seat place, then an LED screen is the way to go. Now, I don't mean the LED backlights that you get just on an LCD television. I mean made of LEDs. So, like, if you've seen moving billboards or moving signs out and about, those are LEDs. And you'll notice that you can see the pixels unless you're a good distance away. So that's not a good solution for a small room. You really need a pretty large room for it. And it also works out because they're very expensive. So that's probably not going to be a solution. I just wanted you to be aware of it. Todd Bryant, excuse me, Todd Bryant says, one to watch, H.265 codec. Now, I talked about this yesterday on Technobabble, my Thursday video and graphic design show, and I went into more depth there, so you can go ahead and click that. I'll put a link below this video. But he says, churches providing streaming content should keep an eye out for the H.265 codec as it makes its way into the mainstream. Churches stand to benefit from cost savings as this new codec provides high-quality video encoding at roughly half the bandwidth. That's true. The thing is that there is a competitor, VP9, which is supported by Google. In fact, it's owned by Google and it's open source. So VP9 is less processor intensive, but won't save you as much on bandwidth and storage costs as H.265, which is more processor intensive to encode and decode. So it's a trade-off. Right now we're in a situation where neither of them are standard, so depending on which web browser you're the person watching your stream has. Like, if they've got Google Chrome, they're likely to have VP9. If they've got Safari, they're likely to have H.265, and the rest of them divide back and forth between those. So it's quite possible that someone would not have the correct web browser to be able to watch a streaming video without installing a plugin or some additional software. So just keep that in mind. I think right now, unless you're doing 1080p streaming, you probably don't need to worry about this. And as I said, it's really kind of bleeding edge right now. So keep that in mind. Next, Tony Perez asked, anyone know if this article is legit? And I've removed the link because I don't want you reading false information. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on this podcast. But I do know a little something about copyright law just because I've been a tech guy for well over a decade. And I've read the CCLI license agreements, and they are not licensing you to play or sing music. They don't need to. In the U.S., at least, there is an exemption in copyright law for the public performance of music in a worship setting. So you might be thinking, well, then I don't need it at all. Oh, wrong. Because unless you're singing songs that are from a hymnal, where as part of the purchase price for the book, you've paid for use of this in a public setting, or if you're using your own music or using all public domain music, you're probably going to be doing photocopies of lyrics, or much more likely, putting them on a screen. If you're putting them on a screen, that is technically a public performance of the lyrics from a broadcast standpoint. So, well, not technically broadcast, but what I mean is you're showing the lyrics, and there's no exemption in copyright law, as I understand it, for showing the lyrics or photocopying or recording the music that you have and distributing them via MP3, CD, etc. You will, for distributing on them on the web, you'll need the WorshipCast license from CCLI. For just showing them in the room, you'll need the CCLI license. Now, it's a very inexpensive license. It's just a couple hundred dollars. Depending on the size of your church, it might be less. So it's really not an expensive thing. And if you want to think of it this way, how much money would you pay a week to indemnify yourself to have a license to show the lyrics? So you're probably not going to get sued. Probably. But let's say that there's a chance that you were. If you could go back in time and spend $2-$5 a week, something between $2 and $5 a week, let's say. Would you? Yes. You're going to spend more than that in a year in attorney fees for probably the first hour or two. That doesn't involve court costs, any of that stuff. So it's really a good thing to buy. And they also, since the Apostle Paul, and if you want to ignore what he says, Jesus Christ himself both said the worker is worth his wages. They distribute some of that licensing fee to the songwriters and the record companies, who then in turn supposedly distribute it to the musicians. So I really think that that's a good way to go, to provide a solution for this problem. So the guy who wrote the article, which the link I've removed because I don't want him getting any more attention, seems to think that CCLI would sue people. CCLI isn't into that. They're into providing licenses. And if you don't get a license, then you're just putting your own church in jeopardy. It's just that simple. So I wouldn't make that mistake. Cold River Web Design is asking, what do you think are the two or three most important features or types of content on a church website? Well, it depends on who your audience is, but... A little water there. It depends on who your audience is, but ministry updates from all the ministries, super important, and they need to happen regularly, not once a year. I'm talking once a month minimum, probably once a week, maybe more. Weekly updates from your pastor, bare minimum. That could be done through a blog. Maybe the blog is not connected to the website. If your pastor does a lot of speaking outside of your church or has written some books or something like that, he or she might not want to have their blog on the same domain as your church, should that person leave. But they should link to that. So the idea behind this is, you don't want people to come to your website once or twice and go, oh, nothing's changing, so I'm not going to come back again. You want return traffic, because traffic, for the most part, those are people. And you're losing your influence with those people if they don't come back. So you want to provide some reason for them to come back. So that's what I would do. Next, on churchmedia.net, someone asks, actually his name is dblack86, I think it's David Black, I think is his name. I recently purchased a Sony HXR-NX5U. I used it last Sunday to record the sermon at the church. When I got home, I went to imported into Final Cut Express. It started extremely slow and after 5 hours errored out. I tried to import it several other times, but same result. I finally called Sony tech support last night and found out that when using Final Cut or Final Cut Express, the camera audio should be recording to Dolby Digital instead of PCM. However, I still need to import my video clip with the PCM audio. Does anyone know of a way to do that into Final Cut Express, or is there a way to convert the footage to a usable format? Yes, to import it into Final Cut Express, you need to actually log and transfer. Don't just try a strict import. That's not going to work. Next, there are pieces of software that'll take an AVC HD file and convert it to a more useful format. So IHD Clip is one that I've used. There are others, but you can convert those. Finally, he wrote back a little later that he was able to get it in 10-minute segments and then stitch those all together. I don't know exactly why that's the case. It could be that on memory cards, they tend to be formatted FAT32. If memory serves, and there's a 2 gig file size limit to that. So it could be that the stitching the multiple files together is the problem. So I'd look into that as perhaps something that needs a fix. But he also said that when he changed it to Dolby Digital, it seemed to work fine. So hey, go for that. But at least now you know a workaround. Ellis Hagee, or Hagee, I don't know how to pronounce it, says, my first try and it broke seriously. Hi all, we're migrating to ProPresenter 5 from Easy Worship. We have a pretty extensive media library with motion backgrounds, still graphics, sermon videos, countdowns, and announcement loops. Unfortunately, I decided to connect the video library as a hot folder, and the program crashed while scanning the media library. Now when it starts, it looks fine for about 45 seconds, then the screen turns white, and when and says that Windows has stopped ProPresenter. I uninstalled the program and reinstalled it, but the error is still there. Is there a config file buried somewhere that I can change the location of the media files to avoid this crash? Does anyone have any ideas on how to spoon feed media into the media library of ProPresenter 5? Thank you for all your help in advance. I just wanted to be running Pro 5 by February 1st. That doesn't seem feasible. First, Ellis, I think it is feasible. I think, first off, I had a problem with the Mac version on an iMac where we had a reference video file that I imported, and I didn't know it was a reference video file. Someone else created it for me. So it was referencing media on another computer, and it just didn't like that at all. But once I deleted that, the problem was solved. So, first thing, I would go into the Renewed Vision Media folder and see what all you have there and just delete all that out. Secondly, I would import individual video files into ProPresenter 5 and see if that causes a problem. Could be that that's what's skacking it up. If you're using a specific codec, or you're using Windows Media Video instead of QuickTime, you know, things like that can cause problems. And Easy Worship likes a specific kind of video file, and ProPresenter 5 likes a different kind of video file. So I suspect that that's the problem. Now, if you can't just get it to work using those steps, probably what I would do is I would go to a an uninstaller program or a cleaner type program. You can find those and get rid of every last remnant of ProPresenter 5. So you need all the DLL files gone. You need all the folders gone. You need any config files gone. Any hidden files gone. It needs to be totally gone. And then reinstall it, and as I say, just import one or two video files and see if that fixes the problem. And I think that you'll find some solution there. A follow-up answer to a previous week, Dove Prost on churchmedia.net was asking about not AVCHD, that's the file format. He was RGBHV. Some similar letters there. That's why I got confused. So he was asking about RGB HV cables. Now keep in mind that an RGB HV cable is the exact same cable as a VGA cable. It just has a different end on it. Instead of the DB15, it's got 5 B and C cables. So you can get an adapter. I found some on Monoprice. Just did a search for Monoprice and monoprice.com and RGBHV, and there were some adapters there that went from DB15 female to BNC males, 5 of them, and then BNC female to DB15 male. So basically what, in his situation, the problem was that he had volunteers that were bending the pins on his VGA cable and he'd have to replace it every few weeks. So what I would do is I'd take the existing cable run, or if you're replacing one VGA cable, that's fine. But then take one of these adapters and hook it in and do everything to make sure it's nearly impossible to get those apart. Not impossible, because you could potentially want to change them out eventually, but difficult. So much trouble that you would notice if someone was trying to do it. That kind of difficult, okay? Tape, poison ivy juice, a rabid hamster, something like that. You want to put something like that on both ends where these adapters are going. So from the source video and then to the video monitor. do everything to make sure that they're as difficult as possible to remove. And then you'll just connect the BNCs and disconnect the BNCs. And they're color-coded, so yellow to yellow, red to red, gray to gray, blue to blue, green to green. I think those are standard colors. Instead of gray, you might have black. But typically, that's the kind of colors you might have, white instead of a gray or a black. All that to say, once you do that, you should eliminate this problem unless someone tries to just pull. And then they're fairly easy to re-terminate if you've got a BNC termination kit. So hopefully in training people, you can teach them the wonder that is the BNC cable, the half-twist and lock, half-twist-unlock kind of situation that a BNC provides. And I think that that will get you everything that you need. Now, remember that this show records live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. UTC on churchtechcast.com. And I would love to have your questions, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff on Twitter, or just head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and I'll help you out with answers from there. Until next time, go out and change eternity.